Watch your step here.
Cough drop.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Let's stand together and worship this morning.
Coming today. Why are we here today? Okay, we worship. We want to see Jesus, don't we? We come because we want to be in the Lord's presence today. Just good to be back with you. I don't know what day it is, but I know it's Sunday. Okay? But I do want to say thank you so much for praying for us and for the cards and the things. You can look at the thank you in the bulletin. That is a little extension from us to you. And our hearts go out to those of you that are dealing with loss, even it's your wife, Larry, I'm glad you're here, and Dave, to be with a new one that I found out today is Dorothy Cherry, her brother, Bob, I believe is his name, am I right? From Denver, he died. So that's just, most of you probably know Cherry Berry. She does come here. She sits in the very back pew. And what did I say? Cherry Berry? Cherry? Dorothy Berry. Dorothy. There's so many cherries and berries around here. I sometimes think it's fruit basket upset or something. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, Dorothy does come, but she leaves quite right quickly when she goes out the door. But just be mindful of her, knowing that you got wind of what has taken place in her life as well. And it's kind of like I enter into the adoption group now. I'm an orphan, you know. Oh, it's not really the adoption group. I've already been adopted by the Lord Jesus. But I'm in the orphan club, maybe that's what it is. But I don't know if you've ever experienced having a pastor who has lost his mom before, but you have now. And it's kind of like, you know, I haven't really had a good cry until listening to these guys and being back. I kind of go like, wow, I don't know if I can make it through today. But it's going to be different because Mother's Day will be coming in May, and then it'll be her birthday, and it'll be Thanksgiving and Christmas and other kinds of things going on that you'll say, like, it's just not the same anymore. And which means not too many more trips up to North Dakota either. But I got a cell phone I guess I can call rather than driving 9 hours plus to get there. So at any rate, I do want to welcome those who are viewing by Zoom today. It'll be a different kind of a service in some ways, but at the same time, without Mom, I can't ever say now, hey, Mom. That will not be there anymore. But she is in a place in heaven that is much better, and she probably doesn't even remember me or anybody else, because heaven is a perfect place, and we are not perfect yet. We're not perfect till we get there. But I hope she's enjoying everyone that she's been able to see and to talk to or just listen to, I guess. Just want to let you know that this week is pretty much pretty standard. Just want you to know that there's those of you that are involved with the blessing box, there's going to be a meeting after that. Dave, are you here? Is this for anyone that's interested, or is it just for the guys that are kind of... Okay, so it's, all right, just the main group. Okay, just wanted to know for sure, for clarity, but that's okay. So see Dave, or where are you going to get together at? What? Okay, into the little pantry or storage room. You're interested, you can meet in there. On Tuesday is Women's Bible Study. I know they missed last week because it was way too cold. I can't believe it was way too cold. It was cold. I don't blame you. I go like, that was a smart thing to do. So they are meeting this Tuesday. It should be much warmer. And I don't know what happened with the one you missed. Maybe extend it another week or something like that. But they'll tell you what that is when the time comes. Grief Share is on Tuesday at 12:30 until whenever. And I plan on being there, Suzanne. Okay. I'll just kind of be there. But I might be in La La Land. But I might just say I'm in La La Land, but I'm here. So that's this coming Tuesday from 12:30 to, I think, around 2 o'clock. It just depends how things go. Wednesday, you got the Joy Kids that will be here after school. We got a wonderful time always with them. And then there's a second-year confirmation that meets at 5:30 this Wednesday. Thursday, we got Read Through the Bible discussion group in the Fireside Room at 6:30 with Patty Griffiths. And those of you that are going through the Go Through the Bible in a Year type of a thing, I think that's a great thing that you can get together and do. And then Saturday, I think of Ron Knutson. Ron, this is for you, buddy. Men's breakfast. And that's at 7:30 at Perkins here in Milford. If you need a ride, you'd like to come, but you're just looking for a ride, you know, let me know. And there's others in the group, too, that would probably say, like, be more than glad to pick you up if that is something. The good thing is it will not be 20 below. It'll probably be 20 above. But that's a lot better. So at any rate, let me know or someone else here in the men's group that could pick you up. That would be great. Our prayers go out to Dean Ramsey and Cheryl, as their son is still in the hospital in Las Vegas. Remember Rob? Becky Berg, who passed away. I'm just glad to see Larry is here. as well. That's not an easy time. I can relate a lot to that, but you know, it's a whole lot different when it's your wife than when it's your mom, too. But our heart goes out to you, Larry, and the family as well. And then we have also Tom Lures. How many of you remember Tom Lures? Tom died. Just wanted you to know that. He passed away very quickly this month with a liver disease or kidney disease. It's something like that. That he went very quick. Roz, his wife, did text to say that this has taken place. Their daughter, Mallory. But they also have a granddaughter. Mallory had a baby girl. And so I just want you to know that their first granddaughter will never know Grandpa at all. But she will hear a lot of stories, I'm sure, from Mom as well as from her grandma. So I keep those people in mind as well as Cheryl Meyer's daughter, Dawn, who had surgery down in Arizona, who is recovering from that. There's a women's luncheon this Wednesday at 11:30 at Los Pueblos. Sounds Mexican to me. So if you want to be a part of that, please sign up. That's there's a place for that to sign up. Amy, where's that? Where the sign up? Is it back here?
It's on the table by the treats.
Okay, by the treats. Okay. I was thinking trees. I go, there's no trees. But there's a sign up there. If you haven't signed up, be a part of that. And a Red Cross blood drive, as well as Ash Wednesday, that is going to be coming up. And then on the flip side here, just to let you know that Avis Davis is planning on having a watercolor painting class again this coming Saturday at 1:30. Just want you to be aware of that. And that's kind of a little, maybe it may not happen. It just all kind of depends what the family of the Bergs decide as well. But anyway, we're aware of that. There's other things in the bulletin. Please look at them. There is a Seder meal that is being planned for Thursday, April 3rd. It's a Thursday night. That will be our Lenten service. And so a Jewish guy by the name of Trevor is going to be coming from Minneapolis, and he's going to be talking about the Passover meal, of what the Jews, how they look at it, but making the connections of how we see Jesus in the Passover meal. And so that is open to anyone, as long as you sign up. We need to know how many sign up, because they're making a meal for you. So if we don't know how many to make for, or if there's not many that sign up, we'll have to decide from there. But it's very important that you sign up for that Seder meal or the Passover meal, because Easter is coming as well. There's other things in the bulletin. Please read them, and I will read the call to worship here today. Thanks so much for coming as well. The call to worship says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are here today because we need to be renewed. Not to be back younger in age, that would be nice, but just to know that you give us what we need for this day and the days ahead. You are our sustainer. You're the one who can give us that peace in our hearts and our lives that can come from nowhere else, because your peace lasts, Lord, forever. So we just thank you for each one that is here today. We pray for those that are mourning and going through loss, just as myself and the family. And we know that life is like this, as much as we don't want to admit it. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. We just never know when that time is. But Lord, as we live on this earth, it really is a time of preparing ourselves to be with you. And it can come in a twinkling of an eye. It can come over a long illness. It can come at any time. But your word always tells us that we need to be ready because we don't know when our time is up. We do know that you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death before us. And it is you that will walk with us through that valley when that time comes. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your people. Thank you for those that are here this morning and for the praise team that will be sharing with us here this morning in song. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand again.
Of reading today is where we remember God's faithfulness all the time. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more.
But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children.
With those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. Amen. I think there's a men's quartet.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. When do they play?
After us.
I mean, they sing. After this one? All right. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. How great is our God is always something we need to be mindful of, isn't it? Karen, you're coming up. This is like an encore. These guys sang last Sunday, but I wasn't here. And I've heard that no one is complaining that they get to sing again. So I'm glad you are able to do this. And I do want to let you know that Dean Ramsey's not here today, but he wants to come and say thank you on behalf of him and Cheryl for the gift that was given to him. But he wants to do it on the Sunday when he's here. But he does want to do it, and it is going to come. It is going to happen when we can hear him or him trying to say thanks for somebody who likes to do everything himself for others. It'll be a real treat for all of us because you will understand what he is trying to say is the way all of us would probably want to say it too. So anyway, Lord bless you as you share with us your song.
I got four calls, or maybe five, last Sunday afternoon because some couldn't hear it on Zoom for some reason. And we decided that we'd sing it again when it's not so cold.
Thank you, guys. And gals who helped with that. You know, Tom Johnson kind of brought the age down with the quartet. You know whose place he takes? Al Holman. And I think Al is like 85. So, I mean, it was a quartet that you just don't hear much anymore today, do you? But it was great. Thank you. For those of you that complained that you didn't get to hear it, because then now we got to hear it again, and I got to hear it for the first time. I'm going to read the text here this morning, invite you to stand as I do, just so you get the gist of what it is saying here as I preach on it here this morning. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. And it says this, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." Did you hear that? "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is true. And there are times, Lord, that your word is all that we have to hold on to and to hang on to by faith. And sometimes our faith is pretty weak. But in Jesus Christ, we are strong. It is all about him and not about us. So we thank you this morning for what we're able to hear. As it comes to us, even though it was spoken a long time ago, it still has a great impact and means a lot to us even today. So be with myself as I preach this text. And for those who have ears, let them hear today. Even those on Zoom, if they can't hear it, I don't know what the problem is. But maybe you just don't want to hear it. But anyway, enjoy the good news that you're going to hear today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have heard about Ragbrai? I don't even know if I said it right. Is it Ragbrai? Okay, some of you don't know what that is. It is a big gathering of bicycle people that will stick their bikes front tire in the Missouri River in western Iowa, and they ride their bike all the way to the eastern side of Iowa, and they'll stick that same bike tire into the what river? The Mississippi. So every year this goes on. Ragbrai. It's new to me. I never heard of it, but now I have over the years since living here in Iowa. Do you know that they are coming here to Milford this July? There's going to be thousands of bikers coming to Milford, staying overnight, and they'll be leaving the next day to go to Estherville and be staying there the next night as they head further to the east to the Mississippi River. So I just want you to know that that's kind of something that's going on this year. And I even got a phone call, or no, I didn't get a phone call, I did get a text, an email, which I didn't read. And the person was from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Their bike club wanted to stay here at our church. And I'm going like, what in the world is this? And they said they wanted to sack out in the sanctuary or wherever it is. They want to bring their bikes in so they don't have to get stolen outside. I'm going like, good night, it's Milford, Iowa. You shouldn't have to worry about that. And then they wanted to have a big meal to begin with it. And I'm going like, good grief, this is getting worse and worse. Because they don't want hot dogs or hamburgers. They'll probably want something more. I don't know what that is. So I did eventually call the guy back. Because the first time he called me, I was up in Garrison, North Dakota, spending time with my mom. And I said, I just don't need this right now. So I just said, I'll wait till I get back. And I got back, and then I got a phone call, and I go like, oh, okay, that's who you are. Okay, so I called them back, and I said, I don't know. I'll talk it up with the church council to see if this is something we want to get involved in or not. And then the church council said, oh, yeah, we can do something here, but I said, it's a long ways out. And then I called the person back, because I did read my email, and I got his phone number. I called him, and then he said, oh, we've made other plans. We got another church we're going to stay at, type of a thing. And I went, whew. So I just go like, I just can't handle this right now. So at any rate, they're not going to be staying here as far as I know, but you're going to be inundated with all kinds of bicyclists that will come at all different times of the afternoon or evening or night in this area. And I just kind of go like, is that good news or not? It just depends upon who you are. For me, I don't see it as really good news. But for other people, they go like, ka-ching, ka-ching. All these bicycles come in, and they're going to want to eat. They're going to want to have something to drink. They're going to want a place to stay. They're going to want a shower and all that kind of stuff. But I just go like, it's over my head. It's too much for me to try to wrap around. But maybe as a church, we might have an idea that's out there that I have not even thought of that could be helpful with this, whatever. So I'm thinking it'll probably be others that will be calling as time goes on. And just be prepared when that does as well. So that's kind of a long introduction there to our message here today, because we're talking about good news that we find here in our text today. And the reason why it's good news is because the Apostle Paul has taken this message to the Corinthians. And he's telling them something that is new to them. The reason he's talking about the resurrection is because the Corinthians don't believe in a resurrection. All of their gods, they get a whole different philosophy, a whole different way of thinking about a resurrection. It has nothing to do with a physical resurrection, but they look at it as only a spiritual resurrection, that the spirit of the person, once they die, the spirit goes somewhere. But that's kind of about it. Paul comes and tells them that there's a resurrection that is physical. The person of Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And they've never heard this before. As Paul comes into Athens, this is in Greece, so these are Gentiles. He's telling them that God rose, that Jesus Christ came back from the dead physically. And he showed himself, and at the beginning of this, in the beginning of chapter 15, where Paul says, this is the gospel that you're saved in. Without the resurrection, there is no gospel. And we say that even at Easter time. I go like, you know, the resurrection is a big deal. Because if you try to explain away the resurrection that it didn't happen, you've just pulled the stool out from underneath Christianity, and it doesn't exist anymore. It stands firm on this very thing, the resurrection. And this is what we are to preach and to tell other people about, that Jesus rose again from the dead physically. And he came and he showed himself physically to his disciples, and sometimes just to Peter, and sometimes it says here, more than 500 people at one time, he showed himself. If you ever hear any kind of a pastor or in any church that does not believe in a physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, leave it. Get out of it. Paul is saying there is no gospel if you do not believe that God brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. How do we know that he died? Because somebody put him in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they wrapped his body and they put him in a tomb that no one else had ever used before. He was a dead person. And we know that out of that tomb, the stone was rolled away. Jesus Christ showed up to the disciples in their room as they were afraid. They're thinking about going fishing, some of them, rather than carrying on the gospel and sharing with people, telling them the good news that when death happens, it's not the end. There is more that God has in store for us as long as we trust and believe in Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important. And so when Paul comes to these Gentiles, he's telling them something that they do not believe in. To them, there is no such thing as something after life. When you are dead, you're dead. You're kaput. Nothing else there. Paul says, there's something more. That's why Jesus is so important and his resurrection. But they had no room. The Greeks had no room for a physical resurrection, and they even would laugh at the whole idea. If someone would bring up that someone came back alive from the dead. We know that Jesus rose from the dead because that's our faith. We say it every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed. It would not be any apostle. There would be no Apostles' Creed if you didn't have the resurrection in it. It would be pretty meaningless. So Paul comes to these Gentiles, to these Greeks, and he tells them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, knowing that they are very religious people, because as he walks around Corinth, what does he see? As he walks through the city, he sees a lot of idols, a lot of religious things that people worship. And there's one particular one that stands out in the Apostle Paul's mind, where there's an altar, and on that altar it is engraved to the unknown God. And Paul says, I'm here to tell you about a God that you don't know anything about. He came back from the dead. His son, Jesus Christ, who is God, came back physically. Not spiritually, but physically, to affect our lives spiritually as well. That's our faith is grounded on him. So we find in the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning with verse 32 of Acts 17, you will see that after they had heard Paul preach to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the reaction is this. It says this in verse 32. In Acts chapter 17, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. Oh, get out of here. Boo. We don't want to hear that kind of nonsense. We don't believe in that. Who is this man anyway? He's just a babbler. He just likes to talk. But then it goes on and it says, but others said, we want to hear this guy again on this subject. There were some who became believers in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you find that there's both men and women who came to believe and trust in Paul's message in a place where you never, ever expected to take place. Amazing. So Paul speaks about his surroundings in Athens, which is also in Greece. And he says, I can tell you that you are religious by the objects of worship and an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. This is in Athens. And so Paul began to preach the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. To them, this was completely bogus, far-fetched. It didn't happen. They've never heard this kind of teaching before. But my friends, it's true. You would not be here if it was not true. There would be no such thing as a church. Having a church with believers in it is one of the evidences that this is true, that Jesus rose from the dead. And so we got a bunch of ifs here that Paul is telling the Greeks. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. Think on that. If there was no resurrection, then why are you here? Why is church important to you? Why is the Bible important to you? It's because you know that Jesus rose from the dead. He came back. He has shown himself to you somewhere along the way where you finally said, I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. If there is no resurrection, then Paul says, what I'm doing right now, preaching, is useless. There's no reason even to preach, to speak on behalf of Jesus, if Jesus was not resurrected. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then the dead, all those who have died in believing in him, they will not be coming back to life either. It's just not going to happen. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then there is no faith, and there is, without faith, you have no hope. I kept telling my mom these last few weeks, Mom, keep hoping. The best is yet to come. We just can't see it. But keep hoping that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Your hope is in him. It's not what you can do or what you have done throughout your life or in your life. It's all about what Jesus has done for you. It's what he will provide for us, but we could never do. Your hope is in him, Mom. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins. We're lost, and we're most to be pitied or be just plain miserable because our sins are still with us. Only Jesus can forgive us and take away our sins. But if he's not who he said he is, then he's a liar. If he's not who he said he is, he is the Savior of the world. All those who spoke that, who testified of that, they're all liars then. They're false teachers. But then it goes down and it says here in verse 20, after Paul goes through all those ifs, if he was not raised from the dead, then Paul says this, the clincher. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits. He's the first one to come back to life after dying. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means people who have died since he's been resurrected. They have the resurrection to look forward to. That is our hope. When Paul speaks the truth, he is not a false teacher. He's not a false preacher. If we want to look for an example in the scriptures of what he's talking about here is true, let's go to the person named Lazarus. Not the one who is at the gate of the rich man, but a different Lazarus. The Lazarus who had a sister by the name of Martha and Mary. This Lazarus died. And it took Jesus 4 days after he died to come to Bethany, where Lazarus was already buried, was in the tomb. And it is Jesus Christ who says this in John 11:25. He says this to Martha, Lazarus' sister. He tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" I ask you here today, do you believe this? There is an eternity that God has prepared for us. Do we deserve that eternity? No. But that shows how much he loves each one of us. He wants us to be in his eternity, not in the devil's eternity. Because Jesus was very clear on that there's also another place. And you can't blame God. You only can blame yourself for not choosing the right kingdom. It's by faith in Jesus Christ and through him. So the takeaway of the resurrection that Paul is preaching here to the Greeks, those in Corinth, he says that if there is no resurrection, then we have no hope. We have no eternal life. We have no forgiveness of sins. We have no reunion with loved ones. There is no new life at all if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you end up with. And Paul knows what he is talking about because look what happened to him on the Damascus Road. Remember that? His name was Saul at that time, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he was a hard-nosed Pharisee because he went out and he would look for other Christians, people who were followers of the way of Jesus Christ, and he would bring them back. Sometimes he'd put them in jail. They would be mistreated. And he was there holding the clothes of Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith, when he was stoned to death by others. Saul was there holding Stephen's clothes as the rocks were being thrown at him. And he eventually died after he said, "I see him. I see him." Have you seen Jesus Christ in your life somewhere along the way? I know some of you have. And some of you said, "I haven't seen him, but I know he lives." And you even sung that hymn, "Because he lives. I serve a risen Savior." Saul, as he is going to Damascus and looking for other Christians and to make their lives miserable and to bring them back in handcuffs or being beaten or chained, who knows, on his way there to Damascus, he gets knocked off his horse. Because of a bright light, he falls onto the ground and he hears the voice that says this to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." He heard those words in his life. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? He became blind and had to be led back into Damascus, where God was working ahead of all of this. And can you imagine Ananias, when the Lord spoke to him, who Ananias was a believer, and the Lord spoke to Ananias saying, hey, by the way, you're going to have a visitor today, and his name is going to be Saul. What? Anybody but that guy. I don't want him to know that I'm a Christian. Too late. He's coming, and he's blind. And I want you to lay your hands on him and to pray for him so that he will see. And so Saul had a lot of thinking to do in all that has taken place to him. He is a strong guy. He's in charge of everything. And now he needs to be led by someone else to Damascus to see this guy who is a Christian, a believer, the very kind of person that he's out there to find and to get and to throw into jail or worse. And he's heard that voice where Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It changed his life. Saul became known as Paul, the very man that wrote 1 Corinthians. It is him who is saying these things to other people who did not believe. I told my mom many things. At the end. But I always said to her, Mom, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. You don't know it. You can't see it. But by faith we believe in Jesus, and the best is yet to come. It's just like when you have a big meal. You go like, oh, I can't take another bite. I am so full. And then somebody goes, but there's still dessert. What? There's always room for dessert, isn't there? And they go like, well, maybe we'll wait a little while before we take dessert. And you go like, no, no, bring it on, bring it on. After you said, I can't handle anything more. There's something about dessert that we all love. We look forward to that. Then you know it's the meal is done when you have dessert. The best is yet to come when we believe in Jesus Christ. We can't see everything here on this earth, but we know what God has prepared for us. By faith, we know that it's there. Sometimes I would ask myself, is there really a Paris, France? And then one day, I saw the Eiffel Tower. I go, there it is. It's there. There is a place called Paris. They do have an Eiffel Tower. Is there really a London, England? I saw Big Ben. I go, there it is. There is a Big Ben in London. I believed it before, but there's nothing like seeing it for real. And that's what heaven will be like. We're going to see everything for real. Without any sin. No tears. No glasses. We'll all be in perfect shape. Believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, The resurrection is so important for us. It's hard to believe that there's people who have never, ever thought about the resurrection, have never believed in the resurrection. But without it, Lord, we are a people that then have really no hope. May we not envy people who say, well, I believe what I believe, and I'll go where I think I'm going to go, and that's all that matters. I don't care about this Jesus stuff. Lord, there are people like that. We may know of some. We may live near some. But may we take the stand with your help of your Holy Spirit and to be bold enough to be able to say, the best is yet to come. It's good news. It's good news when we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because I'm going to be where he's at. And I will see him for all eternity. So Lord, may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction as it is given to us in Jude chapter 22. Not chapter 22, but verse 22. Jude 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. I'm sorry, it was 22 through 25. Okay, you may be seated.
Yeah.
Before we go, we have to sing happy birthday to Don Vermes. It's his birthday today. Carter Johnson is his birthday tomorrow, and he was going to play his flute, happy birthday for Don, during the refreshments, but he could not do that today, so we're going to just sing happy birthday to Don, and then you're free to go. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Don and Carter, happy birthday to you, and many more.